Imagine a world where nature itself becomes a weapon. Revelation 8 marks the opening of the seventh seal, ushering in trumpet judgments that shake the earth. From fire and hail to asteroids and darkened skies, God's power upends human security, and death becomes a global reality. But here's the shocker. Survivors refuse to repent. What does it reveal about human nature and divine justice? Keep listening.
Thus far in our wisdom journey, we've seen the seven seal judgments unleashed upon the earth here in chapters 6 and 7. And now with the opening of the seventh and final seal in chapter 8, seven more judgments are going to be released. Now follow this carefully. The first three trumpet judgments unleash the wrath of God through nature, what we might call a natural disaster. And it's ironic to me because mankind has deified nature. It's attributed to nature some kind of knowledge, some kind of power to create all that is, and virtually idolizing and worshiping then Mother Nature. Well, let me tell you, Mother Nature is now going to be turned on mankind. God is going to use this idol of mankind as a means of punishment. Well, the first trumpet judgment, verse 7 tells us, involves hail and fire mixed with blood thrown upon the earth. Now, beloved, there's nothing to suggest that this is anything other than a literal description. I don't believe it pictures some kind of nuclear war and fallout, as some do. In fact, the Greek syntax indicates this mixture is actually created in heaven and then thrown to earth, just like those flaming balls of sulfur that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, they were thrown, as it were, from heaven, Genesis chapter 19. Well, verse 7 gives us the result. A third of the earth, the surface that is, was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. By the way, this lets you know that at the end of human history, before God creates a new earth, there's still plenty of what? Plenty of trees, plenty of green grass. That requires plenty of rain and water and an atmosphere and the right amount of sunlight as well. Well, now the second trumpet sounds in verse 8, and we're told that something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. Now he says it's like a mountain. This would be, to me, some enormous asteroid, then mountain size, that crashes into the ocean. We can't imagine the tsunami created by this kind of impact. In fact, it's going to destroy, John writes here, a third of the ships at sea, just going to literally swamp them and bring them to the bottom of the ocean. It also turns a third of the ocean into blood. And of course, with that, a third of the ocean's creatures are going to be killed. Now, following this, the third trumpet sounds, and fresh water, springs and rivers, well, they're all polluted. John writes here in verse 10, they're polluted by a great star falling from heaven, blazing like a torch. The Greek word here for torch, lampos, was commonly used for a meteor. So you have the impact of this meteor, and verse 11 says it poisons a third of the waters, and that's going to bring death to many, many people. Well, with that, the celestial bodies are affected by the judgment of the fourth trumpet. John writes here in verse 12, a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened. This judgment effectively dims the lights of the universe. And again, beloved, this strikes at humanity's idolatry. For thousands of years, people have sought direction for their lives from the stars. Well, let me tell you, this judgment is going to put the horoscope industry out of business for good. Well, following this, we're told that an eagle flies through the sky, delivering a warning. The warning is given to us here in verse 13. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth. Why? Well, because three more judgments are coming, and it's time to get right with God and heed the warning. Now, let's wait just a moment here. Do I believe an eagle can be made to talk? Are we really supposed to believe this? Well, I believe a donkey was made to talk back in Numbers chapter 22. We've already learned in Revelation chapter 5 that all the animals are going to be given some kind of ability to sing praise to their creator. And I'm personally excited to find out what our creator God is going to do with the animal kingdom, which he created, especially in the coming kingdom. We're already told in the book of Isaiah that a child will have a cub lion as a pet. Who knows? I might even have a pet cat one day, if you can believe that. Well, here in chapter 9, an angel blows the fifth trumpet, and John records what he sees in verses 1 and 2. I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke, like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Well, I believe that this star is none other than Satan. Jesus said back in Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Satan here is given the key to the bottomless pit, literally the abyss. This is where demons are already confined, incarcerated, awaiting their final torment. Back in Luke chapter 8, the demons who inhabited a man pleaded with Jesus, please don't send us into the abyss. Well, verse 3 here tells us Satan's allowed to open the door of this pit, and John writes that from it comes locusts who are given power like the power of scorpions. Verse 5 adds, they were allowed to torment people for 5 months, but not to kill them. Well, what's happening? Literally, you've got demonic creatures released with the permission of God to follow the orders of Satan to inflict torment on the human race. Well, let me tell you, mankind scoffs at the idea of a devil. They laugh at him like he's some little devious creature wearing a red suit and carrying a pitchfork. How silly can you be to believe in him? Well, verses 7 to 10 give us John's description of these demons, and this is no laughing matter. He says, they look like horses with crowns on their heads, with faces that look like human faces, long hair like that of women, and teeth like those of lions. They wear, he writes, breastplates of armor. They have wings to fly and tails that sting like scorpions. Nobody's laughing now. Verse 11 says, they're led by a king called Abaddon in Hebrew, Apollyon in Greek, and both mean destroyer. So this is either Satan or another very high-ranking demon under Satan's command. Well, finally, the sixth trumpet sounds in verse 13, and this releases four demons who've been bound to this point. God not only allows them to be released, but also uses them to act as his agents of judgment. Now, let me tell you, the intensity of God's judgment is increasing. If you've been doing the math, the death toll during the tribulation at this point is just over 50% of the human race. And now this demonic army, we're told here in verse 16, will include mounted troops twice 10,000 times 10,000. Beloved, that's 200 million demons riding on horses. What a terrifying army. Now, verse 17 gives us a description of these horses. Even the horses are horrifying. He writes, the heads of the horses were like lions' heads, and fire and smoke and sulfur came out of their mouths. So they seem to be some kind of combination of a horse and a lion and a fire-breathing dragon. Wow. Now, this isn't here, by the way, the final battle of Armageddon when the kings of the east march on Israel. That's going to come a little later. The armies here are not human. They are demonic. They are utterly terrifying. Satan and his demons will be seen for the bloodthirsty killers that they are in their hatred for humanity. And let me tell you, nobody again is going to be laughing or joking about the demon world or about Satan ever again. Now, you would imagine that the rest of the human race that is still alive is going to be crying out for mercy and running to God, right? Well, tragically, that's not what we read here in verses 20 and 21. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, nor give up worshiping demons, nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. You know what's happening here? God's wrath is being justified. This is the depth of human depravity as people refuse to surrender to a sovereign creator God that they now know without a doubt exists. But what a blessing it is, beloved, for us who've trusted in Christ, have been saved by his grace. We need never fear going through the wrath of this divine judge, our great God. We'll never experience anything of this horrific scene we've just seen described here in the book of Revelation. So I think today we ought to make sure we thank God for saving us. And then let's thank God by the way we live for him today. And until our next wisdom journey together, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Nature and the supernatural both turn against mankind in Revelation's tribulation. Yet, even as the world rebels, believers stand secure, spared from this judgment through Christ's grace. This is the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. Today's lesson is called, When Nature Turns on Mankind. Stephen's library of resources includes a booklet entitled, The Coming Tribulation. Call 866-48-BIBLE for information on how you can get a copy. Then join us next time to continue the Wisdom Journey.